Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Money Honeys, where we,
Freddie, Chantel,
and Devin are triggered. Because today we are talking about the millennial urge to never pay off our student loans. Fuck daddy government.
Uncle Scam. Always at it. Fuck him.
Fisticuffs. That's right. Today is our first of probably many episodes of our student loan series, Student Pwned. And we're kicking it off with a banger because today on the show, we have the incomparable Ben O'Keefe. Now, Ben O'Keefe is a Forbes 30 Under 30 producer, writer, and impact executive, and the senior creative lead and advisor to the Elizabeth Warren campaign in 2020.
Come on, resume.
I know. I'm not done yet. Ben is now the head of diversity and impact over at the production company that I work with, Creator Plus, where he is the executive producer of the Flip the Script short film fund that finances breakthrough shorts for incredible BIPOC filmmakers. And I don't like to bet because, as we all know on this podcast, I do not like to lose my money. Mm-mm. But I would bet that Ben is going to get himself an Emmy within the next 5 years or so.
Ooh.
And you can bet on that. Ben, hello.
Hey, Ben.
Hello.
Hi, Ben.
From your mouth to goddess's ears, I hope so. Thanks for having me, y'all.
Oh, my God.
And you missed, if anyone's just listening, only audio, I'm also incredibly handsome. So that's good to know as well.
So flip over to our YouTube channel and see the fit that Ben has going on, y'all.
It's summer. It's tropical. It's giving vacation vibes, even though I know for a fact Ben and I are not in vacation vibes right now.
No. I wish.
So gals, instead of asking about our weeks, I thought I would go ahead and ignite the flames. You know I love to do that.
Yes. Oh, you do. A fire stoker.
A provocateur. With Ben, and start off with a little spicy prompt. How much do you think your college experience was worth? I need a dollar amount and I need you to tell me where you went. So Ben, we'll start with you. How much do you think your college experience was worth?
Well, I don't want to make you all feel dumb for going to college, but I in fact spent $0 to go to college. I got into some of the best schools in the country and I couldn't afford it. I grew up in poverty. I started working, but I will say now I'm 27 years old. I make mid six figures and I still believe that Joe Biden should wipe out all federal student loan debt. So how about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you had to put a dollar amount on your experience, like if someone was like, I'll pay you for your college experience, how much would you be? How much would you charge?
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time on college, writing college essays for friends, etc. And I think it was like a $4,000 experience.
$4,000. And where did you go?
$4,000. I basically went to NYU and I dated a kid there. I went to Appalachian State when I was working there. You know, I went all over. I just lived on college campuses that I couldn't afford to go to.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
God bless. Mm-hmm. God bless.
School of life, baby.
It was a fun experience. Yeah.
Chantel?
Ooh, so I went to Chapman University and I studied like TV and film there. Mm-hmm. Thing is, for me, it definitely like gave me a leg up even like coming into BuzzFeed because I knew kind of like a lot of the technical aspects of stuff. The other thing, I'm not an extrovert by nature. And so networking, mixing, social, like all that stuff, I hate doing. I hate going to mixers. I hate meeting people like point blank. Mm. So Chapman also gave me a network of people that I know I wouldn't have met like just out in the real world, because Ben seems like he's very good at meeting people, seems like he knows how to talk, all that stuff, which is so, so valuable. I am not that naturally. I'm great one-on-one. If someone's like, do you want to come to this mixer? I'm like, absolutely not. I absolutely don't want to go. Yeah. No, thank you.
How many networking events have we been together where you're just like, can we go now? Can we go soon? I need a zesty snack. Let's leave.
I'm like, Dev, can we do like the photo booth with no one besides us? Like, what's going on? You know, it's just like, it's not my vibe. And so for me, like college did give me that of having something kind of like behind me so that in my like few words, I can be like, yeah, I went to Chapman. And people are like, oh, okay. I can like vet you even without you being so like outwardly. And then they can just put me in the job and see that I can do the work.
And how much do you think that's worth?
Oh, God. I don't know. Probably maybe like 20, 30K.
Okay. Okay. Fred?
Is this per year? Or is this like
overall your like college experience, baby?
Okay. So I went to Howard University, historically Black college and university. So when you asked this question, I definitely was like, how am I going to answer this? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like the cliche answer would be priceless because I really, really, really am so happy with the experience that I had at Howard and all of the networking and connections that I walked out with, even like mentorship and really close friends that I'm tight with to this day. I mean, I would say priceless, but I'm not going to go the Hallmark route.
Yeah. This is a financial podcast, baby.
I would say... So Howard tuition in general is quite expensive. It is a private college.
It's private, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's about, I think at the time I went, I mean, obviously prices have risen in the last 10 years. But when I went, it was about 20K a year. I don't think it was, I mean, I loved it. I don't think it was all of that.
Yeah.
So I would say I would knock it down to like 40K total. So maybe 10K a year.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I went to University of Michigan. Same thing. Loved it. Go blue. I bleed maize and blue, which we can put a pin in that. But like the forced pep rally experience of like a Big Ten school, I think is a little bit borderlines on brainwashing. But that said, go blue. Go blue. If I win an Oscar, I will pull a Darren Criss and be like, go blue at the end. I will.
Good to know.
Uh-huh. In fact, when I saw your braids, I was like, oh, Freddie, go blue. So sorry. That's so obnoxious. So yeah, I think I would agree because on top of the network, we did a Harry Potter musical at school, at college. And so there were a lot of resources that we used. We had like 3D mapping machines at school. We were, the performance art school was right next to the engineering school. So there was a lot of learning, like cross-pollination that I found very useful. And in general, I think that college is a safe space for kids to land. So I would put a high dollar amount on that. I would put maybe 30K.
So we're all like kind of around the same situation.
Yeah, we are. But I think our opinions might change, and they may do that
after the break.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey y'all, what's up? It's Devin here from Money Honeys. If you're a fan of learning about your business and finances through storytelling and pop culture, then you gotta be sure to check out and subscribe to Money Honeys, a show that covers the nitty-gritty of maintaining your personal wealth through fun conversation. And you know what? It's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
And we're back. Fred, Chantel, and Ben. What do you know about other countries and how they price out their higher education?
I know that in so many other countries, it's way, 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 way affordable. Yeah. Like $7,000 for all 4 years.
Yeah. That's all I know.
Do you want to know something really sad?
Yeah, always.
22 countries around the world have free college, and many, 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 many more have low-cost higher education, more correlated to, like, how our parents went to school, mm-hmm. where if you could get a part-time job, you could pay for your education. Yeah. You earn $3,000 a semester. Mm-hmm. So that's what I know. 22 countries, free college.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I know. Is it's way less, it's way more likely for people in other countries to get higher education. Mm-hmm. Everything is in general. I mean, I don't want to go on a tangent, but everything, healthcare, mm-hmm. college education, all that stuff is just much more affordable and accessible to citizens of many other countries besides here. So I'm excited to jump into whatever I'm about to jump into because I want to know exactly like which countries have it nailed.
You want to know how much America Girl Boss gatekeeps.
Yes, exactly.
Education.
Exactly.
Okay, well, today, Lades, I've decided that we're going to study abroad and sample some of the college experiences from around the world. Rich. We're going to play a little game called Study the Fraud.
Ooh. We love it.
Dun, dun, dun.
This country boasts two universities that are in the top 30 around the world. They are the largest producer of scientific research, and they also charge around $4,700 a year on average for tuition. Is this country A, India, B, China, C, Turkey, or D, Tay Diggs?
Wow, tough. I thought I knew it, then D came up. Oh.
Some context, the last time we wrote an episode, Tay Diggs was in the game section, so I just decided to keep him in.
She forgot to delete his name as one of the answer choices, but it's great that he's still there.
We created an inside joke.
Yeah.
Fans will know.
I mean, the amount of money Tay Diggs spent on Twitter bots to follow all of us probably could have paid for Universal College.
So. Oh, T, I did not know that. T.
Oh, he does follow. Does he follow me? He might follow me.
Wait.
Actually, he does follow me. And I was actually, let's stay focused.
Okay. Okay.
But y'all stay focused. I'm about to check if Tay Diggs follows me.
Well, give me your answer, Ben and Fred.
My guess is India.
Turkey. Ben says Turkey.
I'm going to say B, China.
Ooh. I say India because I know like they also like developed their own vaccine. Mm. And so I feel like, you know,
maybe the scientific research part.
Research.
Yeah. It's the one fact I know that I'm basing this answer on.
Well, I like that we sampled them all.
Sure.
I'll say D, Tay Diggs, just to get it all out there. But it's B, China, Fred.
Ooh.
Miss Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Those commies got it figured out.
They really do.
Okay, next question. There are roughly around 1,100 universities in this remote country. Their government's percentage of GDP that was devoted to education is about 5.7%. That's a lot.
I'm taking notes like that's like relevant to me. I'm like, okay, 5.7.
Wow. Like, I will score 100 on this quiz and I don't care.
The answers are A, South Africa, South Africa, B, Russia, C, Australia, or D, the Philippines.
I'm going to guess the Philippines, just keep it in the family because my mother-in-law was born and raised in the Philippines.
There we go. We love that. We love
Shout
Chucky.
Out.
5.7. I am. 5.7% is it's the hang up here. I'm going to go with D, the Philippines as well. I feel like out of all of these, it may be the smallest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So to me, 5.7% of their government GDP going towards education, I feel like that would totally make sure that no one is struggling afterwards.
Okay, Ben?
I'm going to choose Australia. I didn't do any math. I just have a crush on Robert Irwin, the crocodile hunter's son. So I'm going to go Australia.
Isn't he like 19?
Yeah, I'm more of
That's
it.
That's legal.
I'm more of it.
I'm a fan of the Irwin family.
Me too.
I really am. Anyways.
He's old for his age. He went through a lot of trauma at a young age. Don't get me started.
The answer is actually C, Australia.
Ooh.
So Ben.
Okay, Ben.
Crikey.
Dead. I did hear a fact that people in Australia have the biggest dicks.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It's because 5.7%
of their GDP.
Yes.
Yeah, it's at least 5.7 inches.
All right, okay, love it. All right. Last question, or second to last question. This country charges their national and international students the same amount for higher education. Tuition rates at public institutions for undergraduate students are among the lowest, with the average of $240 per year. Is it A, France, B, Ghana, C, Poland, or D, Argentina? Okay, well, stop.
I know. I know it. It's Argentina.
It's Argentina?
Obviously.
Obviously? What makes you say obviously?
Nothing. Nothing makes me say it.
We love honesty. All right. Well, I mean, the gals know because I accidentally forgot to take the answer out of the question. Say it.
A France.
Mm-hmm. May we?
I think I would have guessed Ghana, though.
I would have either guessed B or C, Ghana or Poland.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy that France has tuition $240 a year.
Wow. That is less than the Chase Sapphire Reserve annual fee.
That's like most of Europe, right? Like that's most of Europe makes education affordable and accessible, and also has just different structures leading up. So they have trade programs and they have options for high schoolers. You don't have to go to college, but if you don't, you should also get resources from your country to do something. Mm-hmm. So we like you, France. Well, I don't know. France has some problematic parts, but we like you, France.
We like what you're doing with education, France.
Yeah,
we do.
I wish that trade school was a bigger element of American education, because I think that trade school can be so just incredible, because college isn't for everyone. And you might, like, if you know, like, hey, I really want to be an electrician and I don't need to get into hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt to go to a university when I know I want to be an electrician.
Yeah.
And then going to trade school,
And
the real shit is, like, the electricians are making more money than the liberal arts degree.
Yes,
kids,
yes.
You know? Like, that's what sucks.
Yes.
And afterwards.
I went to Vassar or whatever, and this electrician's like, I make $200,000 a year,
yes.
And I went to community college trade school. Who's smarter? Who's really more educated?
Yeah, mm-hmm. truly. Mm-hmm. And at least after being in Hollywood for like the past, what, 10 years-ish, mm-hmm. I feel like half of Hollywood is a trade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't need to go to college. No. Or even for like producers, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, can you tell a story? Can you operate Google spreadsheets and docs? Baby, yeah. You're good.
Yeah. I also just wish, too, that like I'm almost feeling like it's probably not specific to America, but I do feel like trade school and even community colleges get such a bad rap.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. there's such like negative implications that goes yes. along with taking those routes. And I don't know what can be done, but I think maybe just more resources behind mm-hmm. more trade schools that are of like a really great, you know, quality and caliber that mm-hmm. really can get these students mm-hmm. on the path that they actually want to be on without having to go into crazy debt. Mm-hmm. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that stigma is based on classism, mm-hmm. right? And it's mm-hmm. because who are disproportionately the people who do those things? And so mm-hmm. you're less smart or you're less valuable to society. Mm-hmm. But in reality, many of those people are performing some of the most vital tasks. Mm-hmm. And I just talk for a living and make hundreds of thousands of dollars. So like, you know what I mean? Like sometimes we have to really shift what we value in our society. Mm-hmm. And I think we're definitely at that place right now.
Yeah. Who of us knows how electricity works? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When it's like,
I just got nervous.
Yeah. But it's like someone who went to trade school or even just like learned on the job, if it's like a family electrician company, mm-hmm. knows that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like that without electricity, our world like doesn't work.
Yeah.
Just literally doesn't work.
When yeah. I think of trade school, I think of Donald Glover's episode in Community when he is like, have you seen Community, right? Everyone? No?
I've seen like an episode. Yeah. Yeah.
When he discovers he's like the best plumber, like he has a secret talent for being a plumber and pipes and like trade school seems like Hogwarts, yeah. you know? They like select him, you know? What
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Like my family has a plumbing business. It's how my grandpa like came like from Mexico and then wound up starting a plumbing business. And the family, it's still in the family to this day.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
my ex-boyfriend is a plumber.
No way.
And yeah. And he also is married to a woman, but that's beyond the point. And so plumbers are cool. Good for him.
Wait, did he fix your pipes? Is that how you met him?
I knew that was happening.
Did he fix my pipe? There were pipes involved in our relationship before.
Love it. Well, I'm going to skip the last question for Chantel and Robin. Let's just go ahead and go to Chantel right here on the...
Okay.
Okay.
So all of this convo brings us to a question for you, Ben. Why do you think we place such a high monetary value of education on the individual in this country, in this moment of time?
Okay, I'll do a quick rant. So look, the system isn't broken. It's working exactly as it's intended. This is not an accident. I often say ignorance by its very definition is a lack of knowledge. So the only way that we actually break down ignorance in ourselves and in others is with education. But let me say this as clearly as possible. This is class warfare. They want people to stay ignorant. They want to make it as hard as possible for you to thrive, and they want to make as much money in the process as they can. Because if you understand the system, if you have knowledge, mm-hmm. then you can find ways to make the system work for you, or mm-hmm. maybe hopefully even dismantle it altogether. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be this way. So truly, I root so much of this in capitalism and toxic individuality and American exceptionalism and that myth. It doesn't have to be this way. It's this way because of greed, and it's this way because it's meant to control people without financial means from getting an education.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Mic drop.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We'll pick that mic back up because you have the next question.
Yeah, so where does all of this money go? Like all of this money that they are gouging from us in the process of trying to thrive and trying to do well for ourselves, like where is it going?
Well, let's talk about it. You know, it's nuanced, and I'm going to talk about one part of it, which is one of the biggest places that it's going is in these massively inflated salaries of college administrators and some of the skilled workers at college. So the vast majority of college presidents actually make at least $300,000 a year. That's the low end. But then you look at more expensive schools like Harvard, where the president makes $3.5 million, or NYU, where the president has a salary of $1 million a year and lives for free in a penthouse that is worth tens of millions of dollars. There are some professors, mostly old tenured white men, who are literally making millions of dollars a year to teach classes to 30 people. And so the money is being put into the pockets of the most powerful, and it's being paid for by the most marginalized. And it's the reason why we have more than $1.75 trillion in federal student loan debt in this country, so that a select few can get rich and then a fewer select group of folks can be successful in society. It's a scam.
So was it a gradual scam where they just started inching up the salaries of these professors, or was this just something that happened in the 90s? Because I feel like in the 90s is when it really started to inflate.
So it really started in the 80s, primarily when we started to see tuitions go from a few thousand dollars a year and up and up. They call it tuition inflation, but the inflation is actually not correlated to like the inflation in our country. It is still disproportionately higher now than it was back then. And it really started changing, I believe, because of a system that was more and more becoming one in which the wealthy thrive. We have about 800 billionaires in this country who are worth about $4.7 trillion, which is more than the bottom 99% of the country. That wasn't always the case,
right?
So we've actually seen a huge change and a huge shift in our society at large. It's not just education. Mm-hmm. It's everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Eat the rich. Mm-hmm. Eat them. Mm-hmm. So for real, billionaires.
The rich.
So,
money honeys.
Eat the rich.
Eat them and make it cute.
So to be fair, Ben, I got a little nihilistic when I first wrote this episode in general. The gals will tell you, went through a couple drafts, because the first draft I wrote, I was like, what's the point? College experience isn't even worth it. Like, I'm paying out of the ass every month for my University of Michigan, go blue, degree. But like we touched on in the beginning, college is so much more than an education. It's a network. It's a place to expand out of childhood. Mm-hmm. It's a place where you can make a buffet of bad decisions that will then become funny stories, hopefully. But when we come back, I want to resign ourselves to the fact that we all are living in a reality that student loans is very much a thing. Mm-hmm. And we need to talk about, A, how we can limit our costs, and B, how to pay off the loans so they don't keep you in money jail. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do it. Ben, say it with us.
After the break.
Oh, my God. I can do it.
You can. Start with the good, the cute, limiting the cost of college, because we love discounts on the show.
Absolutely.
So really fast, did y'all get scholarships when you went to college?
No.
Howard didn't give you a scholarship?
They did not.
Tell me about this.
This is right. This is the tea. So I did not get a scholarship going into Howard. I was distraught about it. I was confused. I was taken aback.
Right.
I was overwhelmed. I'm like, you know, my GPA, all of my extracurriculars, all of this is like on point. I think I had like a 3.8 when I applied. Like, I was like very confused as to why I did not get a scholarship. And generally, it's because my actual test scores were not where they needed to be for Howard to actually push me over that finish line of getting a scholarship. So, because I'm just not a good test taker.
Standardized testing is a whole other thing.
I'm like, Howard should, especially the HBCUs, honestly shouldn't make us take
right.
these tests.
Right.
But anyway, I ended up getting scholarships while I was there, though. So when I was, when I would get my grades and stuff per semester, they actually would award students based on where you fell within your actual school. So I was in the School of Communications, mm-hmm. and I was landing like each semester in like the top 5%.
Yes, you were.
Out of all of the students in the class.
Of course you was.
Yes, you were, Ms. Fred.
I was like, you guys, I'm good at school. I'm not good at taking tests.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting money, like a good amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
pretty
good.
Much starting my sophomore year all the way through senior year.
That's great. Yeah. I'm proud of that. That's great.
Shanti?
So going into Chapman, I got an academic scholarship that just cut my tuition in half.
Damn.
For the entire 4 years.
How did you find that?
They gave it to me. It's like based on your grades and stuff from high school.
Is it because you were also in state?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think so, because it was just called the Chancellor's Scholarship. And so if you basically like qualified for it academics wise, then it just literally chopped it in half.
Oh, I love that.
And so then it's interesting what you were saying about like working the system and then hopefully inevitably dismantling the system. But you know, who also knew how to work the system to get the other half of my tuition for way, 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 way discounted is my mom.
Sandy.
Miss Sandy Houston.
Ugh, the woman who was looking for discounts when mm-hmm. we were wedding dress shopping.
Yeah.
Literally. She was like, full price who? That's not what we do. Yeah. Most moms are like, I'll break the bank for your wedding, honey. Sandy was like, no. No.
She's like, I taught you. We go to the clearance rack, bitch. I taught you. I raised you right.
Right. Now, Ben, before we got started the recording the podcast, you mentioned that you got into Juilliard. Now, did they offer you any scholarships?
Oh, yeah. Now we're bringing out the tea. Not enough. They offered me scholarships, but then I had to move to New York. And that's something that I couldn't do at the time. Mm. And it's also a really important thing to think about, because one of the reasons why college education also is able to stay high is because of supply and demand. If we want to get into economics here, most people can't afford to leave the area within where they grew up. Mm-hmm. And so they're limited to the colleges that are near them. And colleges know that and take advantage. I barely got any scholarship, even though I graduated top of my class mm-hmm. a year early. So that was fun.
Wow.
Oh, and my mom made like $15,000 a year. Mm-hmm.
So
it was terrible.
You're telling me you graduated the top of your class, your mom made below the poverty line, and you still didn't get someone? Because I think for most Americans, they think, well, if someone's like that, someone swoops in and gives this kid money.
Right. Even just with FAFSA, or I think Pell Grant is maybe just California, or is it not? Is
no.
that one?
Right, special? No, it's not. Pell Grant is a federal program, but when you get $4,800 off of a $48,000 tuition, it's just not possible. And when people, you know, not everyone can even qualify for private student loans. That's something people also don't understand. Mm. Like, my mom could not qualify to get me some of the student loans that I would have needed.
Mm.
Like, that was part of the problem.
Yeah.
And so when we look at this through an equity lens, that's part. And maybe we can talk about that with scholarships, too, because the hunt for scholarships isn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's actually part of the question, because when I was looking up, you know, research, I also got scholarships when I went to college, but I went and because I was a Girl Scout. Hello. The Girl Scouts actually offered a great, this was back like years ago, a great like search database that I could plug in my specs and they would list out all of the scholarships that I could apply for.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I feel like it's way harder to like, there's like blood and sweat equity
mm-hmm. yeah.
into finding the scholarship. You're spending your time, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it's basically what
my mom did. People?
Go ahead.
It's like, who are the people who are having to spend their time? People without the financial means, people from marginalized backgrounds. And so, and people say, well, just do the work. But that's not equity. It's not fair that an 18-year-old, 17-year-old kid is having to work harder to get half as far and then be in a lifetime of debt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also, I mean, an accessibility issue as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that in general, like, white students in particular who are, you know, middle class to upper class, they have their friends' parents saying like, oh yeah, just apply to this grant. I'll put in a good word and like, it'll be fine. We don't generally have that kind of stuff. We don't have that. That is
no. My mom was looking at tax code.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's not even knowing where to start.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Those connections. So
yeah. I didn't even think about that of like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'll just tell so-and-so head of the foundation I literally did not think about that.
Yeah.
But if you are going to apply for scholarships, because we love to give tips on this show, some tips on finding a scholarship is starting local. Since there's less competition. So look for a local scholarship. Mm-hmm. And then, Ben, this is where I want to bring you in because you had a short film fund right now. So I'm sure you get lots of applicants for people who would love to be a part of it. So it's kind of adjacent, right? Talk to us about pitching yourself as a brand, because I think that's kind of what kids who are applying for scholarships or even like people who are going to grad school and are applying for grants, that's something that needs to think about. Because when we see these like scholarship prompts, they're like, tell your life story.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it's so vague.
I like to say monetize your trauma. You know, when I was 18 years old, I didn't go to college. But what I did do is start one of the largest campaigns against the clothing company in history, against Abercrombie & Fitch,
which
they made a Netflix movie about, which everyone can watch, called White Hawk. Shameless plug. And what I did was I told my story. I didn't have money. I didn't have resources. I didn't have network, but I had my lived experience. And when I learned to tell the story of self, it made people want me. So you need to tell people why you deserve this scholarship and what you're going to do with it and why it is a natural tool to progress your life. Like, story of self is so imperative. Knowing who you are, sharing who you are, and being confident in who you are so that other people are confident in you. If you believe in yourself, if you sell yourself, make yourself sound like a badass, then other people will believe it too. And colleges will want you and you'll get the scholarships, but you have to be audacious. Mm-hmm. Success is a balance of humility and audacity. Mm-hmm. The humility to know, the audacity to be bold and to believe that you're capable and you deserve things, and then the humility to know you can't get there alone. So be audacious and fight for yourself, because no one's going to fight for you.
Wow.
That's such a great way to put it. I haven't thought about it in the humility plus audacity formula. And like, even applying for grants and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, here's everything that's been working against me, which is why I need your money. And here's why you need to give it to me. Because also just like, here's what I'm going to do with your money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make you look good mm-hmm. by taking your money.
Yeah. One of the biggest things I've learned from like pitching a lot of things out in Hollywood is you have to pretend that you're solving someone's problem.
Mm-hmm.
So their problem is they have all this money. Oh, no. And they need qualified applicants that'll make them look good.
Give them a headline.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a headline. Devin Lytle awarded the blah, blah, blah grant, opens foundation, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Sweatiest bitch in the world needs your money.
So, Ben, where do you see the future of subsidizing college going in this country?
Oh, gosh. Well, here's the tea. It's not looking good. There is a massive chance that the Republican Party will take over both chambers of Congress, and that any chance of policy change will not happen. We also have a president whose own Justice Department told him he has the ability to wipe out all student loan federal debt, and he is likely to wipe out about $10,000 per student, and that's a means-tested amount of money. So if you make over a certain amount, you don't get the help, no matter your circumstances. But here, let's go to the optimistic side. It can go anywhere we want it to, but only if we build collective power. We can make anything happen. We can push politicians to do anything. We can shift culture easily, but all it takes is all of us working together. They tried to dismantle us. They say, well, you paid for your college. Why should someone else not have to pay for theirs?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just about you. It's about us. And when we fight together, we can make anything possible. If we want free college in this country, we can make it happen because we can afford it. We spend $750 billion per year on the military. but it would only cost us $800 billion to make college free for every person in this country. Mm-hmm. So we can say we don't believe these bullshit excuses and we're going to do something about it. But unless we do, the outlook is not great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true what you're saying, because there's so much argument of people being like, well, I paid for my college. And it's like, right, but you shouldn't have had to. I'm mm-hmm. sorry that you had to. You shouldn't have had to. Right. Let's make it better for other people.
Exactly.
And our country just doesn't think that. We're not taught to think like
we're
that.
We're very individualistic. Yes. I mean, from everything from wearing masks yes. to wiping out student loan mm-hmm. debt, like people just care about themselves only.
I had to work for yeah. it. Yes. People will continue to work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was oppressed, so now others should be oppressed too. Mm-hmm. And if you live like that, then we'll all stay oppressed yeah. while a small handful of people thrive. Mm. And it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're stuck with this bill. Ew. Let's talk about how you pay this son of a bitch off. Question for the group. And I think this goes for people who have loans in general, but student loans are scariest because you can't get rid of them ever. They follow you till death. Mm-hmm. You can't even get rid of them if you declare bankruptcy, which mm-hmm. is something that I think, side note, Congress should undo. It's such an easy thing yeah. to yeah. undo, but they won't. Correct me if I'm wrong. That was one of Elizabeth Warren's, like, I mean, Elizabeth Warren had like huge policies mm-hmm. on student loan debt and forgiveness, but like that was something easy to do, I think.
Easy.
So what's your step one when you have a huge loan bill to pay it down, just off the top of your heads?
Oh, this yeah, is for everyone.
For the group.
Oh. I mean, is this advice or what I did?
What'd you do?
Okay, so I definitely deferred my loans. Mm-hmm. I know that you can defer and defer and defer, but obviously the more you defer, the more trouble that you're in. So I think I actually only ended up deferring for about 6 months.
Mm. After. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Because I was nervous. Mm-hmm. So I deferred for about 6 months and I still like obviously didn't, because we have the private and then we have the federal. Mm-hmm. Obviously couldn't do that on like a PAGE program salary in New mm-hmm. York City making like 12 bucks an hour or 15, mm-hmm. however much it was. So my mom definitely helped me and stepped in around those times as well.
Shout out to Terry.
Yes, shout out to Terry because mm-hmm. like she's just so giving and awesome and mm-hmm. kind in that way. So, yeah, that was my thing. I think my thing is just try not to defer for too long.
But you actually did something smart, I think. You were in the PAGE program when you first graduated. Mm-hmm. You were actually working two jobs, right? PAGE program and, like, another side gig?
No, I was doing PAGE program full time, but it was 6 days a week. Like, it was, like, right. it was brutal. So it was a lot. It was, you know, hourly pay, 6 days a week, only one day off, and that type of thing. And then once I finished that, I ended up finding other just like gigs and contracted mm. positions. So like nothing was really like lucrative enough for me to make true dents.
But like if you're gonna deferring for because you're in an internship
yes.
or in a program that's gonna get you ahead, because mm-hmm. it's like that is a little bit of return on your investment, yeah. I feel like. How about you, Shanti?
I barely had loans. Mm-hmm. I think I had like 5 or 10,000 in loans.
Okay.
And so for that, it's just like once I had the money, just kind of like paying it off in a lump sum,
nice.
And getting it out.
Ben, what advice would you give?
I have a radical piece of advice in which I would say that people should do their own due diligence in exploring. Student loan debt cannot keep you from getting any other type of debt. So a mortgage, an auto loan, an apartment rental, etc. Student loan debt really can't do much of anything to you except grow, and all money is fake. So one option is also to let your money continue to be fake in the back of your head and let it grow and grow and grow and never pay it. That is quite literally an option. It's a nuclear option, but imagine if every single person did it. So that's one thing, is student loan debt can't hurt you as much as you think it can. They want you to think that it can hurt you much more than it can. So, yeah, that's a little tidbit there.
Wow, that's tea. That's actual
that
tea.
That is tea. Because
I'm sitting here with mountains of student loan debt behind me and in front of me. And I have some, like, non-nuclear tips for, because I actually agree with you, Ben. It reminds me of the parking ticket situation here in Los Angeles, not parking ticket, but the red light ticket in Los Angeles. For a while, they were putting cameras on red lights and taking your picture. And for a while, I don't know if this is the case, so don't quote me anymore, but for a while, people were like, just don't pay them.
Right? Oh.
Because it's like a breach of privacy to take our picture in that way.
I did not know that.
And so for a while, people just didn't pay them, and the government had no way to reinforce that. Now, it's probably changed. They've probably written some law, so don't come for me in the comments. But, you know, that's the Ben's nuclear option.
Yeah.
Because. Also, I love, Ben, that you brought up, like, don't be as afraid. Don't be as afraid as they want you to be of student loans. It's not as crippling.
Take a deep breath. I don't have student loan debt, but I did have tens of thousands of dollars of credit card debt that I accrued learning to take care of my family. It brought me to a point of near suicide. I was so depressed.
Oh my God.
I was so scared. And then I realized it was all a lie. It was all a joke. And when I let go, not only have I paid off all of that debt, but I also gave myself the space to still feel joy in spite of having it, which allowed me to become successful enough to get rid of it. So no matter what you do, this is one part of your life and one part of your identity. It doesn't mean that you can't get a drink with your friend when you go out on a Friday night. It doesn't mean you can't get a new pair of shoes. It doesn't mean you can't have joy. It just is something that unfortunately was forced upon you that should have been free, because we should be investing in our people and in the education of our people, because it's not just good for them, it's good for our country.
I just got chills.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And from like the financial side, if you do have a lot of student loan debt or any kind of debt, you got to attack those interest rates first. You got to look at where they're the highest are. Usually the private loans have the highest interest rates. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a place, in a position, refinance those sons of bitches.
Refinance
those loans. Get a friend, a relative, not a friend, but get a relative.
Do you
want to
like unpack what that means though? Like refinancing a loan?
Yeah.
So you do it.
Actually,
it's your show.
No, it's it's our show, Ben.
Yeah, we are the money, honey.
Exactly, honey. Refinancing your loans essentially means tying them all together under one umbrella interest rate. So you, for a private loan, you may have one. Well, usually how loans happen, like when you have a private loan, like I have all my private loans with Discover. Discover can go fuck themselves. they really can. And when I log on to discover.com, go fuck yourself. They say it shows like loan A, loan B, loan G, loan F, and they're all different private loans. So like loan A is like for $8,000. Loan B is for like whatever. And they all have separate interest rates. So refinancing them means that usually it's another company. So Discover was the company that refinanced my loans. But usually another company comes in and says, I'm going to take that bundle of loans from you and your new interest rate is this. So for an example, my interest rates were like 12%, 8%, 7%. Mm-hmm. They would take them all and be like, now your interest rate is 9%, which is like a middle ground.
An average.
Is that refinancing plus consolidation?
Kind of. Yeah. Ben, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, that's basically it. It's getting a new loan. The new loan provider pays off your old loan, and now you owe it to them at a lower interest rate. That interest is so important, because if it accrues at a rate that's higher than you can afford to pay off, you will literally never pay off your debt. That's why there are people who had $100,000 in debt and now have $300,000. Mm-hmm. That's why it's also a scam. That's why lending money to poor people is a scam. For people who don't have institutional or generational wealth. So yeah, that's it. It's like, if you as much money as you can save, always save it. And you can do that with your credit cards. You can do that with lots of different things.
Right. Mm-hmm. And another thing to think about is you want to pay off those private loans first, usually, because the government and our relationship and the government's relationship with student loans is always changing. Like in the pandemic, they put a pause on it. In the pandemic, my financial advisor came to me and said, pay the minimum payment on those sons of bitches.
Oh, because you weren't getting charged like the interest wasn't. Yeah. Well,
right. And it's always changing.
They're all put in what's called forbearance.
Right. Forbearance. Thank you. So always just pay off those private loans first, because those are private companies. The government isn't going to like send debt collectors as quickly after you as Discover student loans. Fuck you, Discover. Will. Also sponsor us.
What you just what you just described is the argument for big government over big business. Because it's true. You know, at the end of the day, these corporations want to make money first and foremost. And at some point, the federal government will take steps to reduce student loan debt, whether it's $10,000, $50,000, or all of it. So definitely pay private first.
Ben, what do you know about the PSLF program?
Not much.
The Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program.
Oh, there we go. You got to unpack those letters.
Sorry,
oh,
baby. Sorry.
Well, how do you feel about the See You Next Tuesday program? What? look, it's, in theory, this program is great. What this program says is if you serve for a certain amount of time in public service roles in the government or in nonprofit organizations, we're going to wipe your student loan debt because you have done a service. And usually you've done it at a lower salary than people who work for private companies. The reason why it's messed up is because hundreds of thousands of people are still waiting for their student loan debt to be wiped for who are part of the program. So I think it's great. And I think that service should be rewarded by our government. But the system just doesn't fully work for too many people.
And you have to make 120 monthly loan payments. 120, that is 10 years. 10 years of being paid a government salary, which both of my parents, my mom worked for the CDC, my dad was a high school principal, both of my parents had that government salary. It's not great.
Why is it that it's taking so long for these for this program to actually come full circle for all of these people who's, you know, paid the
programs are underfunded and they don't have the resources to process. It's the same reason that the literal IRS can't process every tax return in this country. Our government is not great. And the sooner people start realizing that they don't have it all figured out and maybe we should start figuring some things out for ourselves, the better.
Amen. Amen. So to wrap things up, Ben, because you've given us so much of your time. Thank you, sweet Ben. And probably the most important question of the entire episode, who would you like to foot the bill of education in this country?
I have an answer. I would like the 754 billionaires in this country to pay for college, for universal college. Collectively, they're worth $4.7 trillion in college for 10 years, which is the period of time that we make policy for in this country, would cost about $800 billion, and that's a first dollar program, meaning that they could still have nearly $4 trillion after paying for college for every American for 10 years. That just sounds like it makes a lot of sense to me.
When you say having billionaires pay for it, you mean through taxes?
I mean a wealth tax. I mean a tax on people's wealth, because what people need to understand is we make paychecks and we pay taxes on them. That's not how rich people get rich. Rich people get what's called capital gains. Their money makes money. They get money up to 10% annually, sometimes more, 5 to 10%. They get money just for having money in the bank. And so that money that they make is taxed at a lower level than the money that a janitor makes at a high school. And that's wrong. That's messed up.
How about y'all? Who would you like to see foot the bill? Your ex? I mean,
Mr. Trump himself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right in line. I think more specifically, like the Zuckerbergs and the and the Bezos and I think.
And Tay Diggs.
And Tay Diggs. Tay Diggs.
He's paid for his boss. Let's see if he followed me. No.
You didn't call you back? Tay Diggs.
Tay Diggs. Come on, Tay.
We'll make you a part of our merch, Tay.
Please. Follow Shanti back.
So comparison is the root of all evil. And I'm so sorry that we had to like compare student loans here and abroad. But I had to ask y'all, has this conversation that we've had with beautiful Ben adjusted what you think the dollar amount of your college education? That first question I asked you at the top of the episode. How much do you think education is actually worth?
I mean, I don't know. It feels like a crazy question because I just know that like the life experience and stuff that I got from it and just like the growth that I like needed to do, I don't actually know that it changes my dollar amount that much.
So the thing for me is that I'm almost So I agree. But then I'm like, I feel like all of these other colleges and universities that are like $240 a year in these other countries, these students are getting the experience and the networking and the things like that, you know? So it's like, why do we even have to, like, why, obviously, like, going to an HBCU is priceless because it's great being around people who look like me for 4 years when that's not the actual reality of America when you get into the workforce. But it's like, also, why do I have to pay for that? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that's annoying.
Well, here's the thing, my friends. College is a priceless opportunity to learn, to grow, to find yourself, to build community. It's so priceless that it shouldn't have a price. And it doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. It could be free for you, for me, and for every single person in this country. All it would take is investing in our future instead of investing in ourselves. Mm-hmm. So college is priceless. That's how much it's worth. It's worth everything, and it should cost nothing.
Nothing.
Yes, yes. That's the thing where I'm like, through my American lens, is it worth $40,000? Yes. But should I have to pay $40,000? No. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Yeah.
There we go. There we go. Ben, where can people find you?
People can find me on the internet. My name is Ben O'Keefe. That's okay. E as in Edward. E as in Edward. F as in Frank. E as in Edward. I don't know. And I'm on the Instagram. I'm on the Twitter. I still have a Facebook back when that used to be a thing. I'm not on the TikToks. I'm too old, but maybe I'll get there one day.
It's not true, Ben.
I'm Benjamin O'Keefe.
And everyone should go to BenO'Keefe.com because his website is so good. It's so good. It's so beautiful.
And I made it myself. Hashtag creator.
Wait, did you really make it yourself?
I sure did. I'm multi-talented and very humble.
Well, thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
What a delight. And until next week, bye, y'all.
Bye,
ciao.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.